I'd invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 8. We are looking at Psalms for the summer. This is an opportunity to learn prayer, worship, praise. Sometimes our prayer lives feel anemic. Don't know what to pray, don't know how to pray, don't have the words. We have a prayer book in the Bible called the Psalms, and this is if you don't know what to pray, just crack open the Psalms and pray somebody else's prayer. This is God-inspired prayer book for the church to use. We're in Psalm 8 this morning. Before we dig into God's Word, let's ask Him for His help together as we seek to hear from Him. Father, what an amazing privilege we have to gather as Your people, to sing Your praise, to do what we were made for, to worship You, to look to You, to enjoy Your beauty, Your grace, Your majesty. You are worthy of our worship. And so as we open Your Word together, help us to see You for who You are. Deepen our affections for Jesus. Help us to see You, Father, Son, Spirit, as the glorious one true God that You are. And may our hearts in looking just overflow with worship and praise to You. Give us eyes to see Your beauty, Your grace. Give us ears to hear Your goodness, Your gospel, the good news that Jesus died for a wretch like me to bring me into relationship. Give us hearts of worship, we ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Psalm 8. Psalm 8 begins and ends with, O Yahweh, our Master, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. Psalm 8 is a hymn of praise to God. It looks up, it looks out at creation, and it looks down and in at ourselves and marvels at our place in it all. Psalm 8, to the choir master, according to the Gittith, a psalm of David. O Yahweh our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. You have set Your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, You have established strength because of Your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at the heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the stars which You have set in place, what is man that You are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that You care for him? Yet You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of Your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Yahweh, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. Psalm 8 is the answer to Psalm 7, which concludes with these words. I will give to Yahweh the thanks due to His righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of Yahweh the Most High. David does what he said he would do in Psalm 7, and here in Psalm 8 he is singing praises to the name of Yahweh, his God, the Most High God. Name. Sing praise to the name. A name in Scripture refers to one's reputation one's character, of the distinctive attributes and qualities and authority of the person to whom the name belongs. The person who bears that name, that authority. Yahweh our Lord has a reputation, and we as His people have a responsibility to uphold, to bring praise to His good name. God's majesty, His grandeur, His beauty, His glory, it's above all, and we were created to be in relationship with Him, to enjoy Him in all of His awesome fullness. This is the first psalm that is intended, written to be an expression of praise sung by the gathered community. O Yahweh, our Lord. The other psalms so far deal more in I and you and they. They're more individual, they're more personal in nature. This psalm, it's our Lord. It's intended to be sung, an expression of worship to our magnificent Creator. Why do we come together and sing together? That's weird. Who does that? Other than maybe at a concert, right? This is what the church does because Jesus is worthy above all of our worship, of our song. Some of y'all don't sing very well. That's okay. Yeah, I'm in there. It's what we were made for. And praise God, it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. We all can do that, right? Sometimes it's a noise, that's okay. Sometimes it's beautiful melody as we heard this morning. That's wonderful. It is a privilege to be able to worship Jesus together as the gathered community. It's what we were created for. Verse 2 introduces foes, the enemy, the avenger. But those are not new on the scene of the Psalms. Psalm 1 begins by drawing a contrast between the righteous, one who delights himself in the Lord, and the wicked. Psalm 2 introduces Yahweh's anointed one, against whom the nations rage, the people's plot, rebellion in vain. Psalm 3 through 7 are all cries to the Lord for rescue from an individual, from foes, enemies, the wicked, evildoers, liars, bloodthirsty, the deceitful, slanderers. These enemies, these adversaries, these haters use their power to oppress God's people. But here in Psalm 8, God holds up the weakest things in the world and sets them up as a fortress against the seemingly powerful enemies, foes, the wicked. The babblings of newborns and toddlers triumph over the plots, the well-laid schemes of the powerful and the strong. We see this. This is a theme throughout the scripture. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. The Lord uses the foolish, the weak, the low, the despised, the non-existent to display. He doesn't even need raw materials to display His own glory. He doesn't need anything to work with, and so He can work with me. He can work with you. We were created to bring Him glory, to bring Him praise. The antithesis to that is boasting in His presence as if I were something, as if I were enough without him. You see, the Lord delights in impossible odds to put on display that he alone is mighty to save. In Judges chapter 7, Yahweh said to Gideon, "The people with you are too many." He's about to go into battle against a vast horde. "The people with you, the army you have, they're too many for me to give the Midianites, your enemies, into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.'" The Lord took Gideon's army of 32,000. And again, it says an innumerable multitude, like locusts, like the sands of the seas. He says 32,000, too many. Cut it down to 10,000. Still too many. Cut it down to 300. Armed, by the way, with, what do you want to take into battle? Let's see, a trumpet. You're coming at me with a gun, with a sword. Ha-ha! What? Oh, let's get... we need something else, right? How about a clay pot? And a torch! Okay. That's it! Trumpet, clay pot, torch. 300 against innumerable multitude. Now we're talking. Now, it's like, that's absurd, that's ridiculous. Exactly. God gets to show off. You can't claim you pulled that off by your skill, your superior armament, your wisdom, your superior forces. It has to be God. The Lord delights in impossible odds to put on display that he alone is mighty to save. As Jesus said to Paul, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul's response, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Do you ever feel like you can't do it? Like you're not enough? You're right. Accurate. Absolutely, you can't. But human weakness is the necessary prerequisite for God to show up and display that he is enough, he is strong, his strength is sufficient. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? The heavens, the moon, the stars, mere detail work, requiring no great effort of thigh, of arm, to heave into place. No, it's mere finger work for God. Massive balls of flaming gas. Nothing. Take time. Take time to look. Look up at the sky on a clear day. Watch clouds roll in. Feel the thunder and lightning, the power. On a clear night, take advantage of our dark skies. Ponder the sheer magnitude of stars, galaxies. Feel your own smallness. What is man? Minuscule. Insignificant. A mere breath. Yet God is mindful of you. He remembers you. And to remember in biblical language is not just a mental exercise. Oh yeah, John, Tom, George. Yeah, I know. I remember. No, to remember is not a mental exercise. It is a commitment to act. I remember my friend. I'm coming to their aid, their rescue. God cares. What is man? So small, so insignificant, and yet the omnipotent God of the universe cares for me. You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. Psalm 8 verse 5. A little lower than Elohim. There's some ambiguity as to how best to translate that here. Most often Elohim is used for God himself. Sometimes for heavenly beings or angels. Man is a speck in God's expansive creation, and yet God crowned him with glory and honor. God made him a little lower than God. In spite of our smallness, there is a weightiness to mankind, unique in all the rest of creation. We have been crowned by the Creator, given royal authority. Verse 6, you have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. Created in the image of God, we were given authority to rule over the rest of creation, to lead, to feed, to guide, to guard, to protect all things. Domestic animals, wild animals, birds, fish, great sea creatures, the sea monsters. Many of them much larger, much more powerful than we. Yet all of them entrusted by our Creator into our care, placed under our authority. What is man? And yet you appoint us as kings, ruling over your creation under you. Genesis 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." The image of God in man, dominion, rule, authority, good, kind leadership and governance. Here's the irony. Remember, we started out being introduced by foes, enemies, as well as the weak and powerless. All, both the foes and the babies and toddlers, both the strong and the weak are all part of this broken, fallen thing called man, humanity, mankind. Because of our rebellion, because of our abuse of our God-given authority, mankind is now divided into foes and friends. Friends of God, rebels and the righteous. And Romans tells us none is righteous. No, not you. Everybody, yeah, there's a lot of wicked people, but I, no, not one. Not even you. What is man? Treasonous usurpers who abuse God-given authority. All we see today is distortions, perversions of what mankind was intended to be, how mankind was intended to use authority. What is man? The only way for us to know mankind as we were meant to be, exercising dominion rightly, is for an ideal man to come, one not tainted by our sin, one who truly reflects the character of God, rightly upholds his reputation. You see, we need Jesus. God become man. The image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. But when Jesus came, in Matthew 21, we see those who had power and authority, the chief priests and the scribes, when they saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David!" They were indignant. And said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" Implication, stop them. Don't let them say that. Jesus said to them, yes. Talking to the religious experts who had the scriptures probably memorized, "Have you never read Psalm 8? What an insult. What a slam. Ouch. Do you not know these scriptures that you're supposed to be the professionals in? Have you never read out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise?" You see, Jesus did not come flexing his strength to his own advantage. He came in humility. Matthew 20, verse 28, "Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus humbled himself. Philippians 2, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. What is man? After Jesus was mocked and abused by the soldiers, in John 19, Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe in mockery. "Hail, King of the Jews." Pilate said to him, "Behold the man." What is man? Jesus used his weakness, his humility, seeming powerlessness to win the greatest victory over the most powerful foe. He defeated death and hell by dying. He took my place. He paid my price. So my sin could be done away with. So that I could become who I was meant to be. Begin to image, to proclaim, to image forth the glory of God and give him the praise that he is due, to worship. Only Jesus. Only Jesus shows us what mankind is truly meant to be. Look to Jesus. What is man? Look to Jesus. The author of Hebrews in Hebrews 2 clearly connects this psalm to Jesus. Hebrews 2 verse 6, it's been testified somewhere. I love that. The author of Hebrews, the author of scripture, quoting scripture, says, yeah, it says somewhere, chapter and verse, I don't remember. It's in there. You can find it. That's encouraging because I'm terrible at memorizing. It's like, I know it says this somewhere. I got a Bible app. I can look it up for you if you need. That's okay. It has been testified somewhere, Psalm 8, what is man? that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that you care for him. You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, commentary from the author of Hebrews, in putting everything in subjection to him, to man, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, to mankind. I mean, look around. Is everything under good, right authority and control? Read the news. It's a disaster. It's a train wreck. Even today, not everything is subjected to mankind. Natural disasters. All kinds of things running amok. Most of it we're responsible for. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, to mankind. This points to a future subjection. The author of Hebrews goes on in verse 9, but we see him, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Hebrews sees this psalm as pointing us to the future. Mankind has never exercised God's delegated dominion the way it was meant to be exercised. Jesus is the one who ultimately is coming back and will do that perfectly. Look to Jesus. What is man? Jesus is what it's supposed to look like. If you lack purpose, meaning, want inward transformation, look to Jesus. Worship. Sing his praises. For he is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. O Yahweh, our Master, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. What is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You've given him dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Yahweh, our Master, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Jesus, as we gather here today, we are here to sing your praise, to honor you, to worship you, because you're worthy. You are worthy because you are the creator of all things who spoke everything into existence. You are the word, the divine word by which everything that is came into being. And you are worthy because you are not only the creator but the redeemer. You came to triumph, not through overwhelming military might and power, but through your humility, through your weakness, through becoming a baby, wrapped up in rags and put in a food trough for animals as your cradle. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, helpless, weak, dependent on his mother. You didn't come to overthrow the Romans. You came to be executed as the Lamb of God who takes away my sins. Jesus, you paid my price, and for that we are eternally grateful. We have no hope outside of you. The once for all sacrifice that takes away my sin so that I can enjoy unbroken fellowship with the magnificent God, creator of the universe, creator of the cosmos, creator of everything that is, spoken into existence by your breath, by your spirit. Help us to feel our smallness, our weakness, our insignificance. And help us to feel our weightiness, that you have crowned us as a gift, dominion, authority. You have given us responsibility, purpose, meaning. Help us to use our God-given gifts and responsibilities and authority to do what you have called us to do in a way that brings honor and glory to your name. Help us today to look to your Son, Jesus, who showed us what it ought to look like, to in love lay down our lives for others, not to be served, but to serve, to give our lives in service to others, to bless others, to point them to you, Jesus. Help our lives be a song of praise and worship to you, Father, Son, Spirit, for you are worthy. Most High God, we give you all the praise today in Jesus' magnificent name. Amen. I'm going to invite our elders to come and prepare to serve communion. This is our opportunity as believers in Jesus, those who have receive that gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Those who have given their lives to Jesus, surrendered to Him as King, as Lord, as Rescuer and Redeemer, recognize Him as Creator of all that is. It's for us to receive a gift from His hand. He came to die. He came to give His life as a ransom for me, to pay the price that I owe. Ransom is when someone's held hostage by a hostile force, where they're held at ransom, right? This massive price. I want this price paid, then I'll release them. Jesus, one of the many things He did as He came to die on the cross, He became our ransom. He says, it's life for life. I will give my life to rescue yours. He became that ransom price paid ultimately to the Father, because the wages of sin is death. That's what I deserve. Jesus became that ransom price paid that I could never satisfy. He, the eternal God the Son, gave His life as a ransom for many. Are you included in that many? Today, are you trusting in Jesus by faith alone? It's a gift received. It's grace alone. It's nothing I can earn, nothing I can do, no performance I can offer. Simply, I'm a sinner. I'll take the free gift that you offer, this ransom price paid. I'm a hostage. I'm weak. I got nothing. I have no hope outside of being rescued by someone else. Jesus is that rescuer? Have you allowed him to come in and just rescue you? Say, here I am. I'm a sinner. I need to be rescued. Would you rescue me? You can, that's a simple prayer. You can say right now to the Lord, I'm a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Show me your grace. Show me your mercy. Pour out your forgiveness that was purchased at the cross on me. Make me yours. We have bread and juice that reminds us of Jesus' body broken, his blood poured out. What it cost, that ransom price that he paid for you, for me. We'll offer you bread and juice if you're a believer in Jesus. Take that, hold on to that, reflect on what he did for you. And we'll, once we've been all served, we'll give him thanks and take that together as a body. Church, let's remember together. Let's worship. Jesus, thank you for leaving your Father's side, for willingly becoming man, human, so that as one of us, you could take our place. Offer yourself as the sinless sacrifice, remaining what you were, fully omnipotent, fully God. You became part of your creation and offered yourself as the infinite sacrifice to pay my price, to set me free. Free to do what I was created to do. Free to worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for giving us your only Son. Thank you, Spirit, for opening blind eyes to see the beauty of the good news. That the cruel and ugly cross was my only hope. The wages of sin is death, and my death was paid by Jesus. The infinite debt I owe was paid in full at the cross. Thank you for the gift of eternal life, gift of relationship with you, Father, Son, Spirit. Enjoying your awesome glory and goodness forever and ever. What a treasure, what a privilege. Help us to commune with you today. We receive a good gift from your hand and say thank you. Jesus' body broken for you. Take and eat. Jesus' blood poured out to wash sinners clean. Drink.